take your Bibles, please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 11 together. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is at least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our heritage. Thank you what you have set before us these many, many, many generations. You've given us a church, a Baptist church. Thank you for this particular church. Now, Father, please fill our man of God with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Teach us what we need to know so that we can take your work to new heights, please, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated.
This morning, I mentioned to you the subject of this evening's sermon, and the title of it is, Why I Am a Baptist. Now, let me say right off the bat, I have been in the church for many years, been preaching for a little short of 30 years. Now, that doesn't make me as old. If you're calculating, you need to start calculating with the fact that I started preaching when I was 16, okay? I've been preaching for a long time, and I've watched something that's been happening through the years. Of course, we see our society deteriorating. There was a day when the Sodomites would have never been as vocal and visual as they are today, but our society has deteriorated. We are watching so many things. We're watching the filth in Hollywood. Oh my, oh my, oh my, how Hollywood has become filthier and filthier, and so many things have deteriorated. I have watched people stand for the church deteriorate. I've watched it. I've watched it just like other things go down the tubes. I've watched people stand for the church go down the tubes. I've watched men that have dropped the name Baptist off of their church sign. I've watched pastors who cower to dare get up and say, this is what I am. But I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I will boldly say what I am. And I'm not ashamed of what I am. I advertise what I am. I'm not going to change what I am. God helping me, I won't. And now some of you may struggle with what I'm about to say, but you won't wonder about what I'm about to say. You won't wonder what I am, and you won't wonder what the Bible teaches when we're finished this evening. When I candidated for this church, I preached a sermon called, Please Don't Vote for Me. I gave 30 plus reasons why you may not want me as your pastor. One of them was, I told you I was a Baptist, an independent, fundamental Baptist. I was straightforward. I am what I am, and so you know, I'm not a Southern Baptist. I'm not a Free Will Baptist. I'm not any of those others. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist. That's what I am. So that is exactly what I am. I'm a Baptist. Now, independent meaning nobody controls this church. This church takes care of itself. God sets up the leadership in the church, and the church is independent of all the other churches. Then, not only that, I'm a fundamental Baptist. What does that mean? I believe the fundamentals of the Bible. I trace what I believe back to the Bible. Just like in basketball, there are fundamentals in basketball. You're going to have to learn to pass and dribble and receive the ball and shoot the ball. Those are the fundamentals. I trace what I believe back to the fundamentals in the Bible, and that is what we establish our practice upon. Now, I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead if I've got any sense about myself. I grew up in a Baptist church, never been a part of anything else. I learned Baptist doctrine from the Bible in that Baptist church. I went to a Baptist college. I married a Baptist babe. I preach for only independent fundamental Baptists. That's it. Don't preach for anybody else. I know what I am. I know what I associate with. I don't preach for community churches. I preach for Baptists. And I preach only with Baptists. That's it. I am what I am. I stand for what I am. I will only have Baptists preach for me. So if you say, well, I've got this friend, and they go to thus and so church, and I sure would like to have them in here, they won't come in here unless they're a Baptist. They'll agree with the doctrine that is laid forth in this church. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not. You might say, well, Brother Owens, aren't you supposed to love everybody? I do. But I don't love everybody's doctrine. I don't love everything that everybody stands for. Don't you get mixed up with loving everybody and standing for the doctrines and the purity of the Bible. There are two different things there. Some of you, you'd love the devil. Well, you're supposed to love everybody. No, you're not supposed to love the devil. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate. There's some things that we're supposed to stand for, stand up for some positives, and stand against some negatives. I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not going to drop the name Baptist off of our church. Now, let me tell you why some are. They say, well, there's a stigmatism. You're associating with one particular group. If you drop that name, you could reach more people. Well, you know, you're not to reach more people at any cost. There are some things that if we could reach more people, we're not changing. You know something, Brother Nash? If we'd change our music program here, we could probably draw a crowd. Of course, a dead animal can draw flies. We're not going to change our music program so that we can draw more people. Yeah, if I'd get me a drum set, an electric guitar, and a bass guitar up here, we'd let everybody, you know, when they sing, dance around a little while and get us some contemporary music. Sure, we could get the contemporary crowd. The only problem is I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, what is the original meaning when you see the term First Baptist Church? What is that really all about? Is what it means, and when you see that term, First Baptist Church, is that the Baptists were the first New Testament church. That's really what that's not just a cute name. Actually, and you go to almost every city and every village and every little town, and you'll find a First Baptist Church. What that is saying is that the term First Baptist Church, they were saying the Baptist was the first church. Now, you see, what they did in the old country, they would all often say their names almost backwards. First Baptist Church meant Baptists were the first church. That's where that comes from. The First Baptist Church was started about 31 AD during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. It was started before Pentecost, so you know. It was around before Pentecost. It was at Pentecost the church was empowered in a special way with the Holy Spirit of God. The Catholic Church was started 313, that's many years later, by Constantine. And so you have the First Baptist Church, 31 A.D., then you have the Catholic Church, 270 or so years later, in 313, was started by Constantine. Then, in 1530, you have the Lutheran Church starting. Now, the Lutheran Church was started as a result of Martin Luther and what we call the Protestant Reformation. How many of you ever heard of the Protestant Reformation? Raise your hand. Okay, you can put your hand down. Baptists are not Protestants. Baptists were around long time before the Protestant Reformation, okay? So when somebody tries to say, you're a Protestant, no, you're a Baptist, all right? Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of that. The Episcopalian Church started in 1531. The Presbyterian Church started 10 years after that in 1541. The Congregationalist Church started in 1602. The Methodist that was started by John Wesley was started in 1785. The Disciples of Christ, or what they call the Church of Christ, was started in 1812. Around the 1900s, the interdenominational churches came on the scene. And so all you'd have to do is study documented secular history, and you would find those dates and those times. Now, so I'm a Baptist. You can trace me back to Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and what I believe was the first New Testament church. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you some things. For instance, I first of all want us to look at the very first of Jesus Christ's ministry. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, 22, and 23, I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Now, in verse number 16, which is just a few verses prior, it says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. Now, Jesus is beginning his public ministry here. At the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and he begins his public ministry. Now, let's see how smart you are this evening. He was baptized by John the Baptist. Was Jesus baptized by a Catholic? Yes or no? Was Jesus baptized by a Pentecostal? Yes or no? Was Jesus baptized by a preacher of the Church of God? Yes or no? No. A Methodist? Yes or no? Was Jesus baptized by an Assembly of God preacher? Yes or no? No. Was Jesus baptized by a Jehovah's Witness? Yes or no? No. Was he baptized by a Mormon? No. Was he baptized by a Lutheran? No. Was he baptized by a Muslim? No. Was he baptized by Barney? No. No. Was it an interdenominationalist? No. Was it a community church pastor? No. Jesus was baptized by John the what? Baptist. Now, you say, that's strong. Some of you cowards need to go ahead and get yourself labeled and get it over with. Just so you know, you won't last very long because what I believe, I preach very, very strongly. Sooner or later, some of you are glad the whole community doesn't know what I believe yet. You're thinking, I just hope they really don't find out what this guy's like. I believe what I believe. I stand for what I believe. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. This is a Baptist church. You've got a Baptist pastor. You've got a Baptist staff. You're going to have to accept it sooner or later. And so those of you that just don't want the stigmatism, you wouldn't want the stigmatism being around Jesus either. Baptist was not John's last name. It was a title given to him. We could call him Nash the Crazy. Or Smith the Lunatic. He was called John the Baptist. Baptist was a title given to him by God in the Scripture. It's not a uh-oh. It's not a mistake. There are no mistakes in the Word of God. And just so you know, when he was born, he was called John. John. I could prove to you time and time again for the first few years of the life of this young man named John. He was just called John. And then God chose, after his doctrine was formed, to label him John of the Baptist Church. John the Baptist. It's not a mistake. That's how God did it. Well, what was God the Father's response? How did God feel about all this? Of course, you find Jesus Christ being baptized. Let's find out at that moment when Jesus Christ is baptized by John the Baptist. Let's see how God feels about this whole thing. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus perfect, yes or no? Did he perfectly do all that he did, yes or no? Okay. Well, Was his baptism by a Baptist the perfect thing to do then? Yes or no? Had to be. See, for him to have made a uh-oh or a mistake would make him a sinner. He couldn't be the Savior, and we're all going to hell. So for me to say for Jesus Christ to be baptized by a Baptist was the perfect will of God, then I'm going to guess that would not be a wrong statement. So let's find out. How does God react to this? After being baptized by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit in verse number 22 shows his approval. It says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my Son, and in thee I am well pleased." Hey, you know what just happened? Jesus Christ went to John the Baptist to be baptized by a Baptist. And while being baptized by a Baptist, he comes up out of the water. The Holy Spirit shows up and comes upon him. I would say the Holy Spirit's putting a stamp of approval on being baptized by the Baptist, huh? After being baptized by the Baptist, then God the Father speaks up from heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit down to show everybody that the approval was there by the Holy Spirit. You see, there's a thing called the Trinity, the word tri meaning three. We have a triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was God the Son that was being baptized. God the Holy Spirit just showed up in the form of a heavenly dove and came upon him, showing him the power that was available to him because of his obedience by being baptized by the Baptist. Then God the Father said, wait a minute, there's only three of us. My boy's getting baptized. The Holy Spirit's down there. I better chip in my comment. And he says, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my Son, in thee I am well pleased. Not just pleased, well pleased. What would bring on the words well pleased by God the Father? Well, his son being obedient in baptism, but also it was not a mistake that he was being obedient to baptism by John the Baptist. John the Baptist. You look at the beginning of Jesus Christ's public ministry, and you see that he started out with John the Baptist. Secondly, Jesus exalts John the Baptist above all other preachers. Matter of fact, all other men. He says in Matthew 11:11, we read it earlier, he says, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Those are not my words, those are Jesus Christ's words. He could have said just John. Why doesn't that scripture in Matthew 11:11 read, Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John? He put the Baptist in there. For reason. For reason. He could have chosen to call him by his title, John, but he chose to put the Baptist in there on purpose. You know what? You want to call me Jeff the Baptist? I'd be honored. I'm Jeff the Baptist. I'm not shocked that Jesus felt this way. He actually says of John the Baptist, none greater. None greater. But I'm not shocked that Jesus felt this way about John the Baptist. John was the one that baptized him. Maybe, and I would not fuss with you about this, probably for all practical purposes, Jesus was in a sense being pastored by John the Baptist. Because John's the one that baptized him. John was not just a Baptist in title. He was a Baptist in doctrine and practice, and he had the title. But wait a minute. He just did not have the doctrine and practice of the Baptist. He wore the title also. A bunch of preachers out there that need to realize that. They say, well, we're Baptists in doctrine and practice, but we don't put it on our sign. Funny, John the Baptist wore the sign Baptist, and he preached and believed the doctrine and practiced the doctrine. And then there are some people out there that have the title Baptist on their sign, but they are not Baptist because of their practice and their doctrine. They have to stop being liars and take their sign down. So first of all, we need to stop and realize that the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry is very clear. He started out associating himself with John the Baptist, was baptized by the Baptist, and was a part of the Baptist movement. Jesus then exalts John the Baptist above all other men. Thirdly, Jesus chose to associate and join up with John the Baptist. Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized with him." Jesus on purpose seeks out John the Baptist to baptize him. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John." He looked for him. He went to his town. He went to the river where he could be found. You see, John had a group of people that would assemble together where John could preach to them. And everybody knew that John hung around down by the water because after they got saved, John baptized them. And Jesus knew where he could find John because of where that assembly would meet. And Jesus said, "I'm going down there. I'm going to find John where he assembled down by the water. And I'm going unto him to be baptized." You see, that was Jesus choosing to associate and join John the Baptist. In Matthew 3:14, it says, "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me?" You know what happened? Jesus sought out John to be baptized. And John, in his humility and submission to Jesus, says, "Oh, you should not be joining me. I should be joining you," John said. But listen to what Jesus says to that. He says in Matthew 3:15, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for this it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He said, "I must be baptized." By the way, Jesus didn't need to be saved. He was already saved. This proves, see, Jesus was not a sinner. Sinners have to be saved. Jesus was not a sinner. This proves very clearly that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Jesus did not need to be saved. Baptism is a step of obedience that follows salvation. You can go to heaven without being baptized. Jesus had to be obedient to the commands of the Scripture, and the Bible commands after salvation, you're to be baptized. Jesus didn't need to be saved, but he did need to be obedient to this ordinance called baptism. And so Jesus went to be baptized of John. John says, "Oh, you shouldn't be coming to me. I should be coming to you." And Jesus says, "Suffer it to be so now, for this it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He said, "I must be baptized by you, John." Why? To fulfill all righteousness. This is the right way to do it, John. If I don't do what I'm doing right now, I will not be perfectly righteous. What was he doing? Getting baptized by who? The Baptist. I've trained hundreds, thousands of preacher boys through the years. It's my privilege to teach and be a part of a Baptist Bible college. I remember a young man that I had trained and he had been taught, and he moved up to Maine, him and his wife, to start a church. I'd groomed him. I'd spent time with him. I'd loved him. I really had a high goal for his life. He went to Maine, and after he'd been there a little while, he sent me a little packet of the things that he had gathered together for his church. Had a picture of his church sign, and had the brochures for his church, and the gospel tracts for his church, and had the stationery for his church, and he wrote me a letter, and immediately I noticed he didn't call it a Baptist church. I got a phone call that followed this little packet that he sent me. And he said, "Brother Owens, did you see my stuff?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I sure did." He said, "What do you think? You have any advice?" I said, "There's only one error that I see on all of it. You forgot the word Baptist." He said, "But you don't understand. There is, with that term in my area, a stigmatism. The people don't want to associate with that term, Baptist." I said, "Look, Doc, you need to do what the Bible teaches." I said, "If you asked my opinion and if I saw anything," I said, "I think you need to put the word Baptist on." I said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll pay for the reprinting. I'll personally pay for the reprinting of all your stationery, all your gospel tracts. I'll pay for all of the, I'll help you have your sign remade. I'll help you with your all of it. He said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm sorry. He said, up here, that's just not the trend. We're not supposed to follow trends. And then I told him, I said, Doc, it's like being married but not being willing to wear your wedding band. He didn't listen to me. Broke my heart. Now, I loved him. I wanted him to succeed. I did not become his enemy. Not at all. But I felt like he had made a tragic mistake. And also, within 2 years, he had cheated on his wife. Maybe he didn't want to be associated with being married either. Lost his wife, lost his church, lost his ministry, lost it all. Tucked in there somewhere is a lesson. Won't you be what you are, you people that are married? Let it be known, I'm married. Don't flirt. Amen. Oh, but at the same time, if you're Baptist, let it be known. Amen. Not to hurt someone, but you ought to be proud, and I don't mean sinfully, but you ought to be proud of your heritage. You can trace yourself back, all the way back to the first Baptist church, which was organized by Jesus Christ, and it was labeled by Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. It goes back 280 years further than the Catholic Church. Notice something. If you check the sign that's out here on Highway 11, it says Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Go out to 81 and drive past that sign out there. And if you all pray for us, we're going to put a new sign up out there. But we're working on that. But you notice out there it says Baptists. Look at every one of our tracts. We're Baptists. Look at all the material printed at Martinsburg Christian Academy. That school is a ministry of a Baptist church. It has Baptist doctrine. That's a Baptist school. Check in the phone book. We're Baptist. Check on our buses. It says Baptist. Check on our van. It says Baptist. You know, you say, I am offended with what you're preaching tonight. How could you be? It says Baptist everywhere you go around here. Did you wake up one day and say, oh, I'm in a Baptist church? Oh, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. That sign's been up there for years. We never hung a sign up here for any fall or spring program that didn't say Baptist. We got 12 buses painted red, white, and blue. They say Baptist. We passed out 50,000 plus gospel tracts. They all say Baptist. We are Baptist. When are you going to walk out of here saying, I can't believe it? Oh! You'll be offended with me? Why? Didn't you know we were Baptists? There are things that the Baptist Church believes because it's in the Bible. It is Baptist doctrine, which is equivalent to Bible doctrine, and don't get that mixed up. There are things that the Baptist Church believes, and they practice. And that's what we teach, that's what we believe, and that's what we practice. For instance, let me give you some of those things very quickly, and it won't take long, and we'll be done. But first of all, they claim Christ as the only head of the church. Let me read something to you. In Colossians, and some of you that will struggle some with this, just get your Bible out, and you get the tape, and you research some of it. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says this. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, the Bible teaches here that Jesus Christ is the only head of the church. He started it. It is he that builds it. The Bible teaches clearly that we can sow, we can water, but he's the one that gives the increase, and he gives us all of our instructions. You say, how in the world does he give us all of our instructions? Through the instruction book. Mary is not the leader of our church. The Baptist Church believes the Baptist doctrine of the Bible that teaches that Christ is the only head of the church. That's the way it is. Number two, the Baptist belief is, and we accept the Bible as the final authority in all things. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Baptists have believed these things through the ages. Some of you, I know you've not, maybe you don't feel well trained about the doctrines of the church, but you'll learn some of them this evening. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now let me explain. We believe and accept the Bible as the final authority. We accept it as final authority to the way we're to live our life, the faith that we practice, the methods that we use. We don't believe in what they call situation ethics. Now, you be careful. They're teaching today right and wrong is based on the situation. No, I've got news for you. Right and wrong is based on what the Bible says. Well, I'm just waiting until you get in the situation and then you decide if it's right or wrong. You listen to me. To take the life of a child through abortion is wrong. They say that no. That somebody's got to make that decision. God already made the decision. So we believe that the Bible is to be the final authority in all that we do. And this says here, referring to the scripture, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, that does not mean the man of God is going to live sinlessly, but it does mean he has a perfect guide for the decisions that he makes around the church. And it says he'll be truly furnished unto all good works. We have a Bible. It will help us with all good things that need to be done. We are furnished with exactly what we need. And I could go on and on with Scripture, but we, in the Baptist Church, we believe the Baptist doctrine that is taught in the Bible, and that Bible doctrine is Jesus Christ is the only head of the church. Secondly, we accept the Bible as the final authority. Now, here's what you're going to find out. I don't stand up here and preach what's popular in this day and age. I don't care what every other church out there believes. I am going back to the fundamentals of the Bible. I will preach the Bible. I will give answer to God for what was printed in the Bible, not what everybody else thought or what was popular in this day and age. The Bible's our final authority. Number three, the fundamental Baptist church, they only accept saved people as members. Acts chapter 2, and I'll read this to you. Acts chapter number 2, I'm going to read to you verse 41 and 42. The Bible says this. It says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking bread and in prayers." Now, the Bible teaches that when these people were saved and baptized, they joined the church. The Baptist Church believes, because the Bible teaches it, you have to be born again, you have to be saved to join the church. You say, well, doesn't everybody believe that? Oh, no. There are churches everywhere that'll let you just join the church. No, salvation is a prerequisite to becoming a part of the local New Testament assembly. That's what the Bible is teaching here. They got saved, and they got baptized, and then there were added unto them 3,000 souls. That means added unto the established church. Now, this morning, and this person may be here tonight. I don't know. I wouldn't hurt their feelings for anything in the world. I'm not going to mention the name. I don't know their name, but there was a lady here this morning. After the service was over with, she came up to me in private and she said, "Pastor, I would like to know about getting one of my family members saved." I said, "Well, amen. Exciting." I said, where are they? They said, "Back in the nursery." I said, "How old are they?" She said, 8 months. I said, now, ma'am, let me explain something. For that child to be saved, it's going to have to be at the age of understanding the difference between right and wrong, where that child could either accept Jesus Christ or choose to reject Jesus Christ. So for now, that baby is safe, and that baby doesn't need to be saved. The baby's safe. But there'll come a moment when that child knows the difference between right and wrong, and that child knows to accept Christ means heaven, to reject Christ means hell. At that moment, the baby needs to be saved. She said, oh, okay. What had happened? Somewhere along the way, somebody had taught her something that's not scriptural. Then she said, okay, all right. She says, 8 months is too young. I said, oh, yes, I think 8 months is just a touch on the young side. She said, okay, I've got another family member. I'd like to get them baptized. I said, how old are they? They said, 2 years old. I said, now you have to understand something. That child needs to be saved before they get baptized. And in her brain, it all starts to click. She begins to understand. You don't get baptized until you've been saved. You don't get saved until you're old enough to understand what salvation is. Now, but there are churches everywhere that allow people to join the membership that are unsaved. Hey, when people walk the aisle of this church and say, we would like to unify with your church and become a member, every one of my assistant pastors say, are you saved? If you die today, are you sure you go to heaven? If they say yes, then the next question we ask are, have you been baptized? Why? Because the Baptist Church believes the Bible doctrine that you must both be saved and baptized to be a member of the church. Because that's what the Bible teaches. These people were saved in Acts 2, verse 40 and 41. They were saved and baptized, then added unto the church. So this lady needed to make sure these little ones, first of all, got saved, then they got baptized. So these are things that the Bible teaches. This is why I entitled this, Why I Am a Baptist. This is why we're a Baptist church. We believe Baptist doctrine, and it's laid out very clearly in the Scripture. Number five. A Baptist church is a church that remains an independent congregation. An independent congregation. We are not led by a denominational headquarters. Now let me explain to you why that's so, and continue to look at me. Stay awake. If you're not interested, stay awake for the sake of the future of our church and things, and you listen to what's being taught. We are not led by a denomination. And the reason why we don't yoke up with all these denominations and everything out there is because of this. God wanted us to be independent congregations. That way, every independent congregation gives answer directly to God by way of their pastor, and God is more apt to keep those independent congregations straight or doctrinal or doing right. Because if everybody unifies and the denomination begins to deteriorate, everybody deteriorates together. But when you're independent of all the other churches, if your church sours, all the others could stay straight. Or if all the others sour, yours could stay straight. You understand that? So, now, there are only two offices that are set forth in the Scripture in regard to the leading of the local New Testament church, and that those offices are pastors and deacons. And I'm going to read something to you, and you listen, and I'll read in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Listen very carefully. It says this. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, now let me say this. The word elder, the word bishop, and the word pastor are almost identical. They mean basically the same thing. Somebody might call me Pastor Owens. Some would maybe call me Reverend Owens. Now, I believe this. I don't believe anybody's reverend but God, and that's why I don't call myself a reverend, but it would mean the same thing. I'm the pastor of this local New Testament assembly. You chose that I be that way, but may I add, God chose that I became that. And I asked Dr. Smith back when I was candidating for this church, and he was so wise. I said, Dr. Smith, tell me something. When the church votes on me, what percentage of vote would you consider a good percentage and to go ahead and accept the church? Because, you know, some people would say all you need is a 51% vote or a 60% vote to go to the church and become the pastor. I said, what percentage do you recommend is the right percentage to go and take a church? You know what Dr. Smith said? He said, it doesn't matter if God wants you to take the church. I thought, wow, that was good advice.
So if it's 52% that God wanted you at that church, take it and run with it, because God and you make a majority, and the other 48% that don't like it can lump it because it's God's will. Fortunately, here we had the privilege of receiving a 98% vote, and thank God for that. And now, there are two offices that this independent congregation is given by God to help lead that independent congregation. The first is the pastor, which is the same as the elder or the bishop, and it says this. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be of good report with them that are having good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, here the Bible's telling us about this office called pastor, who is the one that God chooses to lead the local New Testament assembly. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Baptist Church believes. It's Bible. It's Baptist doctrine. Now, not only that, there's another form of leadership in the local New Testament church, and in a sense, it's not leadership. It's a form of exalted fellowship. It's servants called deacons, because the pastor is so busy doing the work of God, studying the Bible and praying and administrating the church, he needed someone to come along and to help to feed the widows and the fatherless and to do duties around the church so the pastor didn't have to mow the yard. And these are called deacons. It says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. Let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave. You notice something? Both the pastors and the deacons' wives are live right. That's why no man will be a deacon in our church whose wife disagrees with what we believe. If they won't uphold the standards, if they won't uphold the beliefs that the Bible teaches, they're not supposed to be a deacon because their wife disagrees. Why? You give me a man that's a deacon and his wife is a gossip, or his wife is someone that rebels against the standards of the church, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a lack of unification. But here we see that the belief of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible, is that there is a pastor. That pastor has servants that help, called deacons, and they help to lead the church. There's no other hierarchy. There's no denomination. There's no regional denomination or state or national. None of that. Not at all. They are pastor-led. Let me give you a couple of words, and you don't have to hear these words, but I'll give them to you. There is the word autonomous, and a word indigenous. Now, what does this mean? It means that an independent fundamental Baptist church ought to be autonomous and indigenous, and that means self-governing and self-supporting. We're not receiving money from everybody else to run our church. Why? If somebody else pays to help run our church, then they want to control our church. We're not going to accept one penny from the United States government to run Martinsburg Christian Academy. Why? Because the minute we start accepting money from the government, they're going to come tell us how to run our school. They can't run their own schools. We don't need them telling how to run ours. I don't want there to be a day when I have to have metal detectors in my school. We're not going to pass out condoms in our health class. That makes me mad. So what are we talking about? The things the Baptist Church and believe and practice are from the Bible. We believe that Christ is the only head of the church. We accept the Bible as the final authority. We accept only saved people as members, and those saved people have to be baptized by immersion after their salvation. We are an independent congregation with two forms of leadership in the church, the pastor and then little servants under the pastor called deacons that help to serve the people, and then We preach and practice soul winning. It's called the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, I'll read it to you. The Bible tells us all about this. It says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." A true, independent, fundamental Baptist church has a soul winning program. They've got to be reaching people. I know all sorts of Baptist churches that no longer have soul winning programs, which truly disqualifies them from hanging that name Baptist. They're supposed to be winning others to Jesus Christ. We're to win them in our community. We're to win them across the county, across the state, across our nation, and in other parts of the earth. And so that is a part of being a true church. Then, the Lord's Supper and baptism are the only two ordinances that we practice. Why? They're the only two that Christ gave us.
Yeah, right.
He told us to baptize after salvation. He told us to take the Lord's Supper to remember Him. You look, there are no other ordinances. There's no rosary.
Right. Yes, sir.
There's so much garbage pumped into the churches out there that man came up with. Man decided it. There's no such thing as baby baptism in the Bible. Sprinkling is not in there. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16, was baptized by immersion, taken all the way under the water, brought up all the way out of the water. He did that as an example. Anybody does it any other way is not doing it according to the Bible. And the Bible is our final authority. Then, they stood for separation between church and state. That's something that we're to do. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 20. Oh, and there's so much scripture I could give you on all this. Time does not allow it, and you're glad of that. Luke chapter 20, verse number 25, the Bible says this. It says, "And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar," that was the government leader at the time, "render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." I could take you, I think, to Romans chapter 13. We could read the first old dozen verses or so. You'll find out that God said the church is not to be told how to practice the Bible by the state. The state's not supposed to tell us that we can't baptize. The state's not supposed to tell us we can't go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. If the state comes here and tells me, you folks have to stop your soul winning, I guess I'm going to have to go to jail.
Right.
Am I to render unto Caesar soul winning? Am I to stop evangelizing the world because the state told me I had to? No way. If they say to me, you may not preach against sodomy, do you know what your preacher has to do? I must still preach against sodomy because the Bible teaches sodomy is sin. If they come to me and say, you may not preach against adultery, it is not politically correct, it's not acceptable in this day and age, then your preacher has to go to jail because I must render unto God that which is God's. I wonder how many of you, if the state steps in and says that you can't baptize people, I wonder how many of you, when I take my stand and say, I am not to submit to you, I'm to submit to God on this. And when they say, this church won't submit to the state, you show me one place where the church is to submit to the state in regard to doctrine. Now, we'll pay what taxes are due. If there are taxes of some sort, our employees, for instance, that they pay their Social Security tax and their FICA taxes and things like that. Because that is what is required of individual employees. You know something? We want to keep the speed limit on our buses. Why? Because the government was given to keep us safe, not to control us religiously, but to keep us safe. And those speed limits, I think, are for our safety. I'm for keeping the laws that do not that the laws that are made by the state that do not infringe on the laws of God, we ought to keep those. Why? Because the government is there to help us and to keep us safe. But the day they start fiddling around with what God told us to do, they are messing with a bigger, bigger government than what they've ever seen. And it's not a democracy, it's a kingdom, and the king is Jesus Christ, and we are to submit to Him. Preachers used to remind folks of this. They used to preach it.
Yep.
We are so caught up in our fears of the government. Listen, there is a higher power than the mayor.
Yep.
It is God. And just so you all know, I've met our city planner. I went around. I met all the city officials, the chief of police, the people in charge of our fire department. I mean, I took one whole day. I'm their friend. You've seen it. We brought all the veterans of the community in here. I want to serve them. The one of the men running for Republican governor came here especially right before the election. Why? I think he wanted our influence. I think he wanted to be he wanted our vote, and we're a big church. Hey, listen, I'm not their enemy. I'm not out to start a war with the city or the county. No way. I'm not starting a war, but if they ever start a war with me and it's about what the Bible teaches, I'll fight it. Why? Because we are to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And what the church practices is not Caesar's. Then we are to render unto God that which is God's. And that is exactly, check the New Testament church in the book of Acts. They fought for what they believed. When the government came around and said, you may not go out and preach in the name of Jesus Christ. They got out of jail and the first thing they did, went out soul winning. They went out telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, I've said this, a New Testament church, they claim Christ is the head, they accept the Bible as the final authority, they accept only saved members into their membership, they have to be saved and baptized, they're in an independent congregation with a pastoral head and deacons to help serve, they preach and practice soul winning, they have the Lord's Supper and baptism as the only two ordinances, they stood for separation between church and state. Now, a comment or two and I'll close. Now, folks, we're to love everybody. We're to love everybody. But we are not to agree with everybody in what they teach. People are teaching false doctrine. People are teaching falsities about the Bible. I don't agree with that. I'm going to preach against that. I am a Baptist. Did you know you can be saved and not go to a Baptist church? Absolutely. Sure you can. There are people out there that are saved that don't go to Baptist churches. I do not believe that you have to be a member of a Baptist church to get to heaven. I don't have time to teach it. I'm not a Baptist brighter. I don't believe that you have to be a member of a Baptist church to go to heaven. I don't believe that. I don't believe you have to be baptized to get to heaven. I think you get saved by grace through faith. Let me tell you this. Why not be associated with the church Jesus started and associated with the baptistic thing? Because Jesus associated with John the Baptist. He was telling us something there, folks. I will not promote any activities in other churches. We're not going to support other denominations or organizations. I'll support Baptist missionaries. That's how it's going to be. You know what the devil wants? Very clear. In the end times, the devil wants all the churches to come together. It's what they call the ecumenical movement. He's trying to pull all, and he's getting closer and closer. People are wanting to be non-denominational. Well, they're wanting to be non-Baptist. They just want to drop all the names they can and become as casual as they can and soft as they can, whether they realize it or not. They are setting up the one world government, the one world church that will come in the end times. And the devil wants this ecumenical movement. All of us get together. Hey, and let's ignore our differences. I cannot ignore scriptural differences. I'm honor bound as a preacher of the gospel to preach this book and to preach the whole counsel of God. I'm a Baptist. Told you I was when I came here. Told you tonight why. And you'll hear more about it because it's time that you make sure you understand. If you walk away tonight and you're offended, I'm the one that ought to be offended. You're the one that came to a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist pastor. Who should be appalled here? The one that says you shouldn't be allowed to talk about Baptists in the pulpit, or the one that is actually preaching what the name says we are? A Baptist. Let's make sure that we do not cower at our name. You know something? My son Joshua is down here. He's one of our assistant pastors. Do you know, I think it would devastate me if my son Joshua was somewhere and someone asked him who he was and he wouldn't tell his last name. What if he wouldn't claim to be an Owens? Boy, that'd be disappointing. I wonder how many of you, your Heavenly Father is disappointed. Because you won't claim the name that Jesus Christ claimed. Because he got baptized by John the Baptist.